Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and with me, fresh off his interview from being the new Mr. Met, he's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. You know, make sure you're there Wednesdays and Saturday mornings to check out the new blog, see what's going on there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Maybe you could like that while you're over there. Well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man.
Yesterday I was pretty much right on with Max Scherzer. The only problem was I couldn't pick hitters for squat. But I guess that'll happen when, you know, you spend all your money on a pitcher. I think Scherzer scored 67 points. I believe he had a complete game shutout with 11 Ks. I think he was worth 67 points, and my team as a whole scored a whopping like 126. So yeah, my low money hitters did not do very well. Just missed on some guys there, but I know James Paxton had a good outing for you. Did anything else come through?
I only scored about two more points than you. I mean, Ryan Zimmerman gave me 25. Tim Anderson, Sousa, Gardner, and Conforto did pretty well, but Chase Utley and Yurko put up zero, and Martin Maldonado gave me a whole 3 points.
I had a lot of conflict putting a lineup together today. I was looking through it, and, you know, we've talked about it here once or twice, but, you know, Mr. Fantasy, as he delved into his sabermetric rankings and all the stuff he was trying to do, stumbled on this website called Odd Shark that does a very, very good job of actually predicting, you know, the outcomes of the games, who's going to score what. And, you know, so I went there today to check it out, and I thought, okay, I'll take their advice, and I'm going to grab the pitcher from the team that's going against the team projected to score the lowest amount of runs. And I was quite surprised when I got there today to see that they have the Arizona Diamondbacks only scoring 2.5 runs today. I was like, okay, no problem. Well, they're playing the Marlins. I'll just go grab the Marlins pitcher and build a lineup around that. Well, I got there, and the Marlins pitcher tonight is Jeff Locke. And I was like, oh, okay, ouch. But I did it anyways. I built my lineup around Jeff Locke. So here's what I ended up with. Obviously he's my pitcher. He's only $6,500. This obviously allows you to free up a lot more money going through things. I went with Gary Sanchez at catcher for $3,400, Justin Smoke at first base for $3,800, Ryan Dozier at second for $3,900. Josh Donaldson at third for $4,100. Xander Bogaerts at short for $3,800. Because I didn't want to use Goldschmidt against my own pitcher. So I was able to just kind of freely spend money, and there's a lot of outfielders you can come up with. So I went with Marcelo Zuna for $3,500. Trey Mancini for $3,200, and then Cole Calhoun for $2,800. Dozier and Calhoun haven't been announced in the lineup yet. That's the late game tonight, but everybody else is playing. So again, they're telling me, you know, Arizona's only scoring 2.5 runs, so I'm plugging Jeff Locke in. My catcher is Gary Sanchez. At first, I got Justin Smoke. Brian Dozier's at second. Josh Donaldson at third. Xander Bogaerts at short. And the outfield is Marcell Ozuna, Trey Mancini, and Cole Calhoun. That, of course, is for the 6:05 main, which is 25 minutes or so away. So, good luck. I hope it helps. I hope it helps me, because I ain't won squat in I don't know how long. So you may be a better fantasy player than I am. I may need to start taking advice from Dan or you guys or somebody else out there, because it ain't helping me. So yeah, that was quite interesting. You know, like the weird thing, to make it even stranger with this prediction, it's Zach Greinke going for the Diamondbacks tonight, but they actually have Miami scoring, I think, 5+ runs. So obviously they're Vegas. They're the ones who make the money. So, I'm kind of going with what they say here, but I don't know. Does that sound like a prediction you would be sold on? Jeff Locke outpitching Zach Greinke?
No.
So, and there were some other, interesting things. I mean, I almost went with, and I'm going to butcher this guy's name, but I'm going to call him Adalberto Mejia is pitching for the Twins tonight against the Angels. He's the cheapest pitcher on the board at 6,100. And I just kind of thought, maybe if I grab this guy and I load up with all the other guys, because, the Angels, obviously, without Mike Trout, they're going to be less of an offensive team. I thought maybe that was the way to go, but, again, they're, like I said, they're predicting the other way around. I mean, Dan's guy Wade Miley's pitching against Boston tonight. Maybe you like him. Alex Meyer's pitching for the Angels. He was once a top prospect. Actually pitching against his former team, the Twins. CeCe's on the mound tonight for the Yankees. And then it's Eduardo Rodriguez pitching for the Red Sox and Marco Estrada for the Blue Jays. So, it's not an overwhelming selection. I mean, did you go with Zach Greinke or did you go someplace else?
I don't know if I'm going to get one together. I'm trying to put it together, but I'm having trouble tonight.
It was just a kind of a strange look when I was kind of, plugging things in and putting things together and all the other stuff. I was just kind of like, okay, I'm hoping they're right because I'm going with their suggestion, and I'm fully invested in the Jeff Locke bandwagon here. So let's see what happens, and hopefully things work out. I have to check and see how my free golf game is going. So did you play the free roll for golf? Yeah, I am. I'm in the 2800s right now, or 28,000s right now. So I'm not doing very well.
Wow, because I'm not in money, but I'm 14,000.
Yeah, I have 122.40 points. So, sadly, one of my guys got me negative today. Oh, he's still on the course, so maybe he'll do something before the day is over. So. Just random golfers there that I chose to attempt to do something with. So we'll see how that works out for me. I'm guessing it's not going to go well, but that's how it goes. But luckily Dan is here because he's much more prepared for this than I. So Dan, you can everybody breakdown of NBA Finals, which I believe actually finally starts tonight.
Well, it's the battle of LeBron versus the Warriors.
That's it? That's all you got?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't, I'll tell you one more time, I don't care. You know, I don't care who wins, I don't care who does what. You know, it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be garbage, and whoever is the chosen one this year to win is going to win. We learned that last year when, you know, Draymond Green got kicked out of the game for doing something he had been doing all along, or not kicked out, but suspended a game for doing something he'd been doing all season long and all playoff long. It was a way to keep the Cavaliers in the series. I don't know how many games they want it to go this year. I've heard a lot of people saying we're going to get 6 or 7. So whatever the Mickey Mouse Network and the NBA have decided we're going to get, we're going to get. You know, and I know a lot of people think, ha-ha, you're joking. No, I'm not. I'm not joking at all. This is dead serious. This is completely fixed. You know, it's the NBA. It's very easy to do. You know, it's not difficult at all. You know, the refs just have to blow the whistle when they need to blow the whistle. And I don't understand why anybody would invest time watching this. You know, unless you're a Warrior or a Cavs fan. You know, if you root for the team and you're a hardcore fan, have at it. But you know, if you're just a casual fan, don't waste your time. Find a baseball game. You know, wait for the NHL playoffs to come back on. I think it's Saturday they come back now. You know, there's much better stuff out there to watch than, you know, what you're going to get. You know, a bunch of three-point shots and crying from LeBron and driving to the hoop and, you know, stuff that's really no longer basketball. So, but good luck if that's what you're going for. Just please don't ask me to comment on it, because I'm just going to tell you I don't care.
Last week I forgot who was talking about it, but, you know, they brought up the fact that I think it was during the Jordan era when palming the basketball became okay and graveling kind of went out the door. I mean, why not just make it official? You could take 3.5 steps.
Yeah, I really don't care what they do. And, you know, that's part of the problem. I mean, the weird part is, you know, Fred Hoiberg pointed this out, and all the experts made fun of him. And it's kind of like, guys, this is, you know, he's talking about an actual rule here. You know, it's not like he's making something weird up. He's talking about an actual in the rule book NBA rule, and all they did was scoff at him. So, you know, you know, how can you get behind a league that doesn't even embrace its own rules?
Well, it's not that they don't embrace them. I mean, when one of the three referees on the court just happens to be looking the other way every time, I mean, that's not coincidence at all.
Just one of those. You know what I mean? A lot of times it doesn't even matter if the you know, if they're looking right at it, they're told not to call it. It's, you know, it's quite interesting. So, it's just more humorous to me than it is anything else. It's like, okay. You know what I mean? You know, it's bad when everybody can clearly see it and yet nobody calls it. You know, I mean, it was funny. I was watching a Steph Curry highlight, and this was towards the end of the season on one of the highlight shows, and he makes this fantastic pass that almost looks just like impossible to do, and then when they slow down the highlight, you realize he double dribbled and took 4 steps to do it. and yet there was no whistle, and the Warriors got a layup out of it while all the refs were standing right there looking at him. So, you know, I mean, it's pretty much geared to the fact that, you know, the NBA wants these kind of highlights out there to try to attract fans. You know, they want the highlight dunks. They want the highlight passes. It's really their, well, besides the fact that they're getting a huge check from the Mickey Mouse Network, you know, it's only their real only salvation, because basketball as a whole, when it comes to teamwork and playing defense and the stuff that the game is actually built on, is basically boring, and the new age ADD people that are around wouldn't be able to stick with it. You would be getting the same complaints about basketball that you would be about baseball. So, you know, because I know you and I have discussed this here, Dan. I mean, we hear all along how baseball is too long and this sucks about it and that sucks about it. But yet, I don't think I've heard more than maybe one or two people talk about the end of an NBA game. You know, is there anything worse than sitting through the final 2 minutes that take a half an hour?
Taking 45 minutes?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you can complain about pitching changes or catcher going on or whatever you want to do. You know, at least the game's moving along. Here the game is dead stopped because we're in timeouts or some guy is standing at the free throw line. You know, I mean, there's absolutely nothing going on in the final 2 minutes of, you know, an NBA game, especially a close NBA game. You know, it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, but I mean, hey, cool. I mean, you know, you're going to watch it, have fun. I hope it works out for you. I hope you enjoy it. You know, just, you know, whatever works. So who you got winning, Dan? You going with the Warriors like it seems the majority of the people are, or you got LeBron and the Cavaliers getting a win?
Wow, you're really getting up there. We had this conversation 2 days ago.
Yeah, I know, but it's starting now, so you got to make your official pick. You've had time to think about it, and, you know, if you want to change your mind, you can change your mind right now, because, you know, this is the one we're going to lock down, because this starts, you know, officially tonight.
Officially tonight. Yeah, you know, like you said, everyone's going with the Warriors, but I'm going to stay out here in the Midwest and go with Cleveland.
All right, so Dan's going with Cleveland. I'm going with I don't care. So, but you know, Dan, when you do get home,
you made me pick. So you
okay,
pick.
I'm picking. Let's see, can I have the Philadelphia 76ers for the win? How about the Brooklyn Nets? Okay, well, since you picked the Cavaliers, I'll take the Warriors just to be different. So, but now when you do make it home, Dan, and you fire up the Roku today, you got to go on and look at the highlights from the Mets Brewers game, because I'm guessing this is going to be on there. Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah. In the fourth inning, Milwaukee's leading this game 2-0 with the bases loaded. Eric Sogard's up and he hits a foul pop-up where Wilmer Flores is playing third base for the Mets. And he's hustling over to the Mets dugout. And it looks like, okay, he's going to get there. He's going to make the catch. And then, oddly, the Brewers, I guess it was Bat Boy because they wouldn't have a ball boy on the road. The Brewers Bat Boy looks like he's trying to get out of his way. He grabs his metal stool and actually brushes up against Flores, and he misses the pop-up. So, you know, Terry Collins came out of the dugout and, of course, had a monstrous fit for the, you know, for the Mets and ended up getting himself ejected. What's odd is, like, I automatically thought, and the umps originally called Sogard out for interference. But after looking back, there is a rule, Dan, here that says it's considered unintentional interference and not an out if a bat boy, security, or someone else permitted on the field accidentally gets in the way of the fielder. So, did you know that?
No, I was not aware of that. I mean, I was actually going to ask you, does that consider like fan interference?
So, yeah, I guess not. Oddly, you know, in the end, it was funny. It ended up working out for the Mets because Sogard hit into a double play to end the inning. So, you know, on the plus side, it all kind of went their way. But, yeah, I would have I probably would have had the same fit Terry Collins had if I was managing the Mets. So, you know, it definitely a one of the odder plays that I'm sure we'll get to, you know, to see quite a bit as the day moves on here. I was looking to see what if the assuming the game is over by now, what was the final score? Oh yeah, thank you. That helped me out a lot. Yeah, Milwaukee ended up winning the game 2-1. So, but yeah, you know, the play didn't have anything to do with the actual outcome, and that all kind of, in the end, kind of worked. You know, I guess kind of worked out fairly. I mean, it didn't cost the Mets anything, and it didn't give the Brewers any kind of benefit. But, you know, I was trying to remember, Dan, and I mean, with the exception of you mentioned fan interference, and you know, occasionally where the ball will hit an umpire. Have you seen anything like this, except for maybe like a ball boy accidentally picking up a fair ball down the line? Have you ever seen anything like this where a bat boy or a ball boy or, you know, even an umpire collides with a player while he's trying to make a play?
No, I mean, aside from the ump getting hit by a ball or one of the, you know, base coaches, you know, being in direct line of the ball, I've never really seen the interference like that before.
So, and just so you know, Dan, if I'm gone and you don't hear me for a while, I think I hear the ice cream man. I thought I heard the truck music. He was in my neighborhood yesterday, so I've been looking for him all day. So if I just disappear, that's why. I'm chasing the ice cream man around my apartment complex. So, but yeah, you know, just again, one of those funny kind of things. But we did have a couple other early games besides the Brewers. Corey Kluber came back for the Indians today, Dan, and they won 8-0 over the A's. And then the Cardinals shut out the Dodgers. Adam Wainwright again shutting out the Dodgers 2-0. So it's Kluber, Chase Anderson, and Adam Wainwright getting wins. Mr. Fantasy's guy, Jarrell Cotton, Zach Wheeler, and Brandon McCarthy took losses. And then if you have Corey Niebel or Sung Hong Oh, they got saves today. So, you know, that if you had him in your fantasy lineup for early Thursday, I did have Kluber as my FanDuel early starter. You know, and it's weird because I saw what Paxton did for you last night, Dan, and that was pretty much my decision. I thought, well, screw it. Dan used Paxton in his first start back from the DL. I'm going to do it with Kluber. Not only that, I took him off the DL in our auction league and started him today because I'd been waiting for him to come back. So he's paid pretty good dividends for me today as things move along. Are you surprised these guys are coming back from the DL and kind of pitching so well right out of the gate?
I was surprised. I mean, you know, once he told me that, I just like, well, what the hell? I'm just going to go for it. And it worked out. I mean, if I would have changed him, I probably would have had even worse night.
So, yeah, and then we do have one game in progress, the only game I haven't mentioned, and there's a reason for it. The Rockies are beating the Mariners 6-3 in the top of the ninth inning, so that's why it hasn't came up yet. So, but I wanted to see. Let me see if I can find that. I'm interested to know how – I didn't see, like, how long Kluber pitched or how many pitches they let him throw, so I'm interested to pull this up and see. I would be surprised if he got to 100 or if they let him go anywhere near that. Yeah, he ended up going 6 innings, 2 hits, obviously no runs, walked the guy, struck out 10. He only threw 77 pitches. So he had a pretty effective outing. He threw 51 strikes. So, and then Danny Salazar made a relief appearance. He went one inning, struck out two. You know, they moved him to the bullpen before because Kluber came back. Sadly, I think the real reason that he kind of started to suck is I traded for him. And the minute I traded for him, he just went downhill. But he did make a relief appearance. Had Cy, you know, I hope I've got him in because he's still listed as a starting pitcher. So who the hell knows what's going on there. We shall see. Oh, so what else is going on, Dan? Are you all hyped up for the Cards Cubs series this weekend?
Super excited for the Cards Cubs series.
Yes. Well, as bad as they are, they could probably just be merged together. So. You know, are you excited to see two 500 teams or below 500 teams match up at Wrigley Field?
I'll be surprised if the weekend goes a little better and your negative funk you're in kind of lightens up with the weather.
No, it's going to be too hot tomorrow. I'll probably be worse. So... you know what gets me is the NBA just chaps my hide. You know, because they, you know, it's probably my fault because I just spend too much time watching the Mickey Mouse Network. But, you know, I mean, obviously they're promoting it forever. And, I'm just tired of listening to how great it is. So, you know, everything's getting out now. I'm just, you know, it's just one of those days. You know, the only thing that made me happy was Mr. Met flipping off fans, okay?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty funny. He did lose his job.
I actually heard, and this was funny because this sounded like something you would have came up with, the conspiracy theory. Apparently, there are multiple people who play the character of Mr. Met. So they were thinking maybe the Mets just announced they fired the person just to say they fired the person, and it really didn't happen. Are you buying a Mr. Met conspiracy?
No, I mean, I don't really care. I think they may as well have. I mean, they probably did, but, you know, like you said, if they have six different guys playing the mascot, who's really going to know?
Yeah. I didn't hear the whole story. Did you hear the whole thing? I don't really know why he flipped them the bird or anything. Did you pick up on any of this?
I sure got why, but I saw the video of him going to the dugout and then flicking off the fans. I thought it was pretty funny, but I actually didn't end up reading what happened because if you saw, they posted an apology on Twitter. And it kind of took a life of its own because then everyone started taking that apology and putting it with pictures of bad Met plays and such. So I thought that was pretty common.
Yeah, I did hear they were saying apparently that Mr. Met got a little support from some of the fans as well, or I guess a little more than the people were expecting.
Yeah, no, he actually, that's the point of me, everyone putting it together. And, I mean, one person even put a meme of, you know, Mr. Met hasn't been the same, and there's a picture of Mrs. Met with the King Royal.
Well, see, that's funny.
It was actually really funny.
Those are the kind of things people need to be doing with their Twitter stuff, you know. Oh. So, yeah, I don't know. I know they posted something about, you know, him getting thumbs up from fans and, you know, all the other kind of stuff going on. So I was kind of like, oh, okay, cool. You know, that's that'll be fun for them to work with. But, you know, I don't know. Were you as, let's call it, outraged as, you know, you were supposed to be about this? Or I kind of chuckled when I heard about it. So, you know, did you freak out? You're a parent now, so you're allowed to freak out.
No, I mean, you know, we live in a society today where you have to walk on eggshells because everyone around you is super sensitive.
Yeah, I just kind of was like, oh, okay, that's kind of funny. Let's see what goes on with, But yeah, you know, Mr. Met will still be at the park, so you don't have to worry about that fans. He's hanging around.
So. Well, I mean, another meme was a picture of Mr. Met and, you know, Mrs. Met with three little Mets. And someone put, you know, you can't fire him. Think of the family. I mean, there's a ton out there. I mean, I was, you know, and that's why I tried to read the story, but I got super distracted by all the other memes that took a hold of its own self and kept me going.
So, you know, and I know you asked about this player. It may have been last week. I think you just kind of did it jokingly. But I did see today, then, Dan, that Joe Nathan was released from his minor league contract by the Nationals. Apparently he had a clause in there that if they didn't bring him up by June 1st, they would release him and allow him to attempt to find work, you know. So Joe Nathan's a free agent, Dan, if anybody's interested in him.
Did you tweet that to you?
No, I did not. So, yeah, maybe I need to send that out there, send the article to Theo, and let him see what's going on there. You know, the Cardinals also released veteran reliever Jonathan Broxton. So, yeah, a couple relievers bouncing out there on the free agent market. So. If you think your team needs a old setup guy, but I did pose an interesting question, Dan. I'll be interested to get your take on it. You know, we got Boston at Baltimore for the start of, I believe it's their weekend series, four games. And I had actually kind of forgotten about this, but are we going to get any more blowback from the Manny Machado slide? Or are we actually done with this?
I mean, as long as Chris Sale isn't pitching, I think they'll be done with it. But, you know, he was the guy I was actually looking at putting into my fantasy lineup. And I think you're better off pitching to him for the way he's been batting lately.
Yeah. Yeah, I own him in one of our leagues. It might be the Snake League. I think he was my first-round pick. And Mr. Fantasy and I have him in our money league. He was our first-round pick there, and he's another one of those guys who's just really struggled this year. You know, and Pedroia is out now. He's on the 15-day DL. He got the wrist injury when he tried to hurdle Jose Abreu. They had that weird play at first base in the White Sox-Red Sox series. So Pedroia's not even in the lineup. I mean, just tell me we're done with this, Dan, and they're not going to – you know, we're not going to have to deal with this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the one thing that I thought about was, the thing that sucked was, I was there the day before it all started.
Oh. You could have ran on the field.
I was there for the series. It started on a Tuesday. And it was a great game that night, so you've got to wonder with the slide and then getting kind of, oh, never mind, they won. So, Red Sox won. I don't know. I mean, I think it's stupid, especially for the fact that Pedroia kind of brushed it off and let everyone know it's okay. And I think that's something that he has to handle inside and not be so stupid. But I guess that was one of the things I wanted to ask you is, so why, like, the fighting and the stuff gets you so irritated lately?
Well, you know me, Dan. I'm a pacifist at heart. You know how I am. I don't like the fighting or anything like that. I think the thing that gets me is when it kind of gets carried on like this. You know, I mean, Hunter Strickland held a grudge for 2 years, or was it three? I think the only place that ever happens, Dan, is in the wrestling business, where, you know, guys can hold a grudge forever against somebody else. I mean, I think I probably still have some grudges I hold, and there's probably some people who still have some on me, from all my years I spent doing that. But, that kind of bothered me. But, I also didn't, I don't like this one because this happened months ago. You know, Machado apologized. It looked like him and Pedroia had worked it out. They still went after Machado. Okay, well, now it's done and over with. You know, I mean, Pedroia publicly said he had nothing to do with them throwing at Machado. It seemed like the two players worked it out. You should have got it out of your system last series. Let's play baseball.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can agree with you on that if it kind of drags out to this series. The fact that Hunter Strickland held on to it for 2 years, I mean, personally, I think Bryce Harper, he deserved to at least take a crack at him, even though sadly for Bryce, it turned into another bad meme thing by making him just look like a fool. So,
They're baseball players, not MMA fighters for a reason. So.
Yeah, but I mean, don't you think when they work out and do the ropes and do all the MMA type training that qualifies you? Because that kind of goes for the rest of the nation who, takes one MMA class.
Yeah. The big difference with that, though, is, when you're training and they're showing you how to do it, there's two things that happen. Normally, the bag you're hitting doesn't move, and it also doesn't fight back. So there's two real big advantages there. I'm sure you've heard the term, or, you've been around. I mean, you've had... if as many jobs as I had, if not more, and I know you used to be a personal trainer, we've all heard the term, the guy's a superstar in the gym. So, in a way this kind of applies. I mean, you can be a super workout warrior as a fighter. And if it doesn't translate, it just doesn't translate. Your good friend, Phil Brooks or CM Punk or whatever you want to call him, kind of learned that personally. He got the reputation for incorporating MMA moves into his wrestling persona, and I think people got the idea that he could actually fight out of that. And we saw what happens when you get in a ring with a professional fighter. So, as tough as these guys might think they are, when it boils down to it, they're baseball players. So...
I don't want anyone to think that you were implying that Dana White and UFC really thought he was an MMA guy, but I think with all the steroid accusations around the time and the lack of a superstar, he was great for marketing.
Yeah, the thing is, if he does decide to have a second fight, he will be again, because everybody will be willing to give him that second chance. So they've got at least one more fight out of him if they want it. I guess the big question would be, will he be willing to do it? Because, unless he's fighting you or I, he's probably going to take another beating. And there's probably a good chance you could beat him. I'm just too fat and too old, so I wouldn't have much of a shot. But, I would a 50-50 chance with some training to get in there and get a W.
I mean, I'd be trying to avoid the GTS the whole time, right?
Yes. So how funny would that be? You know, you'd have to make this, that. But, you know, we did talk about Hunter Strickland holding a grudge. Dan, what's the longest grudge you're holding right now?
Oh, what year is it? Probably be about 4 years.
2017.
Yeah. Probably about 4 years. And it'll be one of those that I hold the rest of my life, actually. So I ask you that again in 15, and I'll tell you, 19 years.
Is that why you, and Mr. Fantasy aren't getting along? Oh, so...
No, actually, I think if anyone, it would be the other way around, because number one, whenever we make a bet, he loses. And then number two, you know, and I actually forgot about it, but when we together in the wrestling industry, I totally forgot that for some odd reason. I have no clue why I used to do it, but every chance I had, I would, you know, essentially attack him. You know, not in a bad way, but, you know, if he wasn't paying attention, I'd put him in a chokehold, headlock, waist, you know, something. Until he pretty much got out of it. I was very, very, very green. I didn't really know what the hell I was doing. But for some reason, I just love to antagonize the hell out of Mr. Fantasy.
You know, and I've known him long enough to know he does hold grudges. There's no doubt about that. He's got, that's definitely a yes on his part. So, that's one of those, just one of those things you go through or you deal with, or I don't even know what the heck. Yeah, I don't even know how to describe it anymore. It's just one of those things. So, I want. Out there that just likes everybody and gets along with everybody and doesn't have an axe to grind.
I think there's a couple of special people like that. I don't know, but speaking of axe to grind or axes or screwed up that old thing, I'm just kind of getting in the report now that, you know, back to your favorite sport, the NBA, and Adam Silver wants to, you know, the CBA, I guess, is coming up to raise the age once again from 19 to 20. So if that happens, you know, Lamar Ball's second child may have to play another year in college. So, what do you think? Is that do something better for the colleges, or does that just totally ruin these one and done guys because they have to call, you know, kind of do them pool for an entire year? And do you think it's better for the game? I mean, because let's be honest, the guys that are coming in, the one and done guys, there's a whole lot of hype behind them coming in, and then, you know, we really don't hear much about them after the fact.
Yeah, well, you know, this year was a great example of it. I mean, they had such a difficult time, you know, with a rookie of the year that they nominated a guy who hasn't played in three seasons. Cause, you know, then he still only played 30-something games, and he's probably going to win the award. You think in a positive aspect it should help the game, you know, both in college and in pro, because, you know, these guys will get another year of, well, you know, it's not like they're going to go to class or anything, but, you know, they'll get another year of being able to play competitive college basketball before they, you know, they kind of move along and, you know, you're a little more seasoned. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I mean, it's basically the NBA minor leagues. I know they have the D League, but, you know, if you're a first round draft pick, you're not going to the D League. And if you do, that means you're a bust. Where, you know, in baseball or something like that, you're a first-round draft pick in baseball, you generally go directly to the minors. So, yeah, I mean, it could be an asset, but, you know, with the way the game is played today, I don't even really know if it matters. You know, because, you know, I mean, it's a drive and kick league, and that's not hard to teach or learn. It's just a matter of if you have the skill to do it, and, you know, you can learn that right away just out of watching somebody play if they have the skill or not to be a drive and kick guy. It's a lot easier probably to find guys who can drive than who can nail down three-pointer after three-pointer. But, you know, I mean, I guess it could be a positive for college where it's a little more of you have to play defense, you have to share the ball, you know, that kind of thing. So maybe it helps there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would help the game a lot more. And then, you know, maybe quit fluffing up rosters with guys you that really aren't ready. But, you know, that's the biggest thing that we've talked about. You know, and I think you always mention it too, is, you know, you essentially have a kid joining a team with a bunch of men. And while the skill level may be there for college, once you get in that league with men, and I think the biggest one we're going to be watching next year, just because of all the hype behind him, is Lonzo Ball. You know, and I'm not going to root against him and hope he fails, but for all the promoting his father's been doing, and I think that's what puts a lot of it out there, but I think, you know, like you said, it's going to put he's going to have a lot of pressure put on him. And not only that, I think there's going to be guys that are not going to go after him in the sense where they're going to want to hurt him or do things like that. They're going to, you know, make it rough on him. They're not going to make it easy. And we'll get to see how a kid responds to, you know, the way grown men will be treating him in this game.
Yeah, I definitely think he has a tough road ahead. And it has absolutely nothing to do with him. And, you know, that's kind of the sad part about it. You know, while there will be guys who are, you know, probably on his father's side. I mean, if I heard correctly, Jamal Charles, who's one of the best, or Jamal Crawford, who's one of the best six men in the league, mentioned that he went out right away and bought a pair of shoes. You know, he ordered a pair of shoes. So he was giving them full support, but, you know, there are going to be those guys who are on the other end of that. And, you know, obviously you can't take it out on the father. So who's going to get the brunt of it? Well, good old Lonzo.
You know, one of the things, though, I just think the way he snubbed the Boston Celtics is just kind of going to make people, you know, gonna rub people the wrong way.
Yeah, you know, they could have handled this better. You know, because I mean, there's no shame in going to the workout. You know, I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, they're gonna fly you across country first class. You know, obviously they'll take good care of you. They'll put you up at probably the best hotel in Boston, or, you know, whatever you got to do. You know, you go through a little bit of a workout for them. You thank them for their time, and they fly you back home first class. Is that really a bad deal?
No, I mean, to me, Boston's a great city, but. I mean, we all know he wants to play for the Lakers, and that's where his dad kind of got himself going. But do you think any of the drama that came out of, I don't know why I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but the Baltimore Orioles center fielder, and should we say acceptance in Boston may have brought him to not want to go there, or because they're just not the team that they used to be? I mean, I think it's going to be great and all that. He'll be playing the Lakers, if they do take him. But even if he doesn't go to the Lakers, he's going to be on a team that's not going to compete for two or three more years.
You know, what I was curious on, and I, you know, this is one of those things you'll never get the answer to. You know, it's just one of those questions. I'm almost figuring he wants to go to the Lakers, or I should say his father wants him to go to the Lakers, because they know he's going to get the chance to play right away, and he has the opportunity to be a star. And obviously we know the one thing stars equal is big money. You know, there's a lot of endorsement deals in LA. You know, there's a lot of things you can, you know, build and get around that. You know, obviously Hollywood and all those things. And while Boston is a very marketable NBA franchise, it's not quite the same as the Lakers. You know, and there's a chance in Boston. I mean, they're going to be they look to be a very good team again next year. You know, he could possibly be reduced to a six-man role or even seven coming off the bench. And, you know, obviously the father doesn't want that for him. He wants him on the floor so people can see him and he can make money off him.
You know, like you said, we'd never know, but, I mean, let's be honest, my little theory just got, you know, drowned, because you just blew me out. You just drowned me. But, I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, the, you know, the Adam Jones thing is the perfect reasoning for them not wanting to go there. I don't think they've ever said that, to be fair. But if they, you know, needed a reason or anything like that, you know, that could be the first thing any African-American player could bring up. So, you know, and luckily so far nobody has, but, it could be one of those things. And, you know, there's no guarantee. I mean, while he is a very good player, you know, it does appear that this, I believe it's Martell Fultz, or it might be Marcel. I might be off on his first name there. But I know the last name is Fultz, coming out of the Washington program, appears to be the better player, at least coming out of college right now. You know, obviously things can translate a little different from to the NBA. You just wonder where the Celtics are looking or what they think about both guys. And, you know, it could just be them trying to, you know, almost hide the fact that Fultz is a little better player right now. So, yeah, it would be interesting, you know, like say a team like the Knicks found a way to get that pick. What would be the talk if New York is sitting there at number one? Because now you're comparing New York to L.A. So how does that work out? I mean, obviously his family is on the West Coast, but there are, you know, a lot of opportunities in New York as well to make money. And, you know, what the father wants is he wants to establish that brand is what he's trying to do. So that's basically the son's job, is to establish the big baller brand, I believe they're calling it. Sometimes I forget. I'm kind of stupid. You know, and I mean, you could just as easily do that in New York as you could in L.A. It's just you would be a much farther away from the family. And, you know, obviously, well, the Lakers are going to be bad next year, too, even with the kids, or the Knicks. So, it would be interesting to see if something like that happened. I don't know if the Knicks, are going to move up to get that pick or what they'll do, but, you know, at least the draft is exciting to talk about.
Yeah, well, you know, kind of bring up what you said, that, you know, being able to play, but you think it also plays in the fact that he's got the two younger brothers and, you know, the dad's still heavily involved with both of them, but how could he, you know, essentially be that involved with both of them and still kind of maintain the big baller brand if Lonzo was on the East Coast? what is that, 5-6 hours flight?
A lot
of shoes you got to sell to fly back and forth.
more like a lot of shoes they didn't sell to, you know.
Yeah.
But all right, Dan, I noticed you've been avoiding this. So I'm wondering what the deal is here. So game three is Saturday night. We're going to Nashville. All right. It's you know, prime time on actually, no, they're on the NBC Sports Network. For some reason, I thought they were on NBC. But they are on the Sports Network. Pittsburgh held serve. They won both their games at home. And now the question, Dan, after all his magic through the playoffs, you taking Pecorine out of the net?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised by that, but he had to do it. You know, I hope they win, but I think at the end, if they don't, I think down I really wanted to take the time on the national lead, and I had to go with them.
Well, hey, you had the choice. I don't want to hear it. You made the selection. So I gave you the first opportunity. But, yeah, I didn't even realize who the backup was. It's like Juju something or other. Can you really put this guy in goal in Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals and expect to win?
No, I think it was just what they had to do for last night. I don't know if he's going to continue to take the goal.
Well, you know, that's, you know, obviously that's the big question. You know, their coach wouldn't commit. You know, today, obviously, he was asked right and left, and that's going to be the question. It's Peter Laviolette, or Laviolette. I'm not quite sure how to screw, you know, to screw that name up a couple times. But, yeah, I keep looking at it. I mean, just I can't see as good as Rene has been for them through the playoffs. Just to drop it in this Juju Saro's lap in Game 3 against, you know, probably the second best offensive team in the regular season behind the Capitals. I mean, can you legitimately do that and expect to win a?
No, I mean, PK's too fast, so people can see.